The theme for the weekend in Phoenix was the prepared heart. And, the heart represents the seat of our personal life, doesn't it? And so we got to take care of that thing because that's who we are. And we'll see how big that is in the scriptures here in a moment. But as we prepare our heart, we prepare it in light of knowing who we are in Christ. We're born again of God's Spirit. We have Christ within. And so we work our heart. We work who we are in Christ and establish that in the depth of our soul, our heart, so that we can believe God and walk out as He's called us to. God has called us to a high and mighty calling, right? I always remember Ephesians 1:18, where the eyes of your understanding, and the word understanding in the Greek is heart, the eyes of your heart, the personal seat of your personal life, that you understand what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So we have been called, as it says in other places, with a holy calling. And so as we prepare our heart, we do it obviously with, help me out with, what do we prepare our heart with? Mashed potatoes? Word of God. Yes. Word of God. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Good. So, and an aspect of the prepared heart is guarding it. Okay? We got to guard our heart. And it was shared, there's two aspects to the guarded heart. One is to guard it from negative, bad stuff coming in. And the other aspect was if something sneaks in
Kick it
that
out.
shouldn't be there, we'll kick it out. All right? So, when you think in the military, that's exactly what they do. The military, you go up to the gate to go into the base, and they check you out, make sure you're supposed to be in there. And if somehow you sneak in, they're going to find you, grab you, and throw you out. So, in light of that, let's go to Proverbs. Okay? And just share a little bit with you tonight along these lines. Proverbs 4. And in Proverbs 4, we're going to go to verse 20. All right. Here we go. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. It's like, did I hear what you said? So, I don't know. So you incline your ear to his saying. Verse 21, let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of what?
Your heart.
In thine heart. Yeah. So you see them and then you put them in your heart. You keep them in the midst of thine heart, in the depth of your soul. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And the word health, some of you with different translations might have healing.
Yep, healing.
Do you have healing? Okay. And healing to all their flesh. So God's word is healing. And it's not, I've heard many times where people having a physical issue, a health issue, they'll go to the Word of God and they'll get healed. Because that's what it says. God's Word can heal. And that's one of the greatness of God's Word living in us. So verse 23 goes on to say, keep thy heart how?
With all diligence.
All diligence. You know, and that's important. And that's what's being communicated here. The depth of our heart, who we are in Christ, the Word of God that lives there, we keep it with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Mm-hmm. Our heart, out of our heart, that's where we believe. That's where we identify who we really are in the depth of our heart. So we want to keep that with all diligence. And because of that, because the issues of life come out of it. And that's so, so important. Our heart is very important that we guard it, right? We guard it from, we're diligent to guard it, to keep the negatives out. And if anything sneaks in, we throw it out. You know, maybe in our times in the church epistles, we talk about the renewed mind. We renew our mind, and that's a big part of guarding our heart, is renewing our mind to the Word of God. Look at chapter 6 here in Proverbs, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Not every Sunday, not every so often, but continually upon thine heart, and then tie them around your neck. Now don't choke on them, but you tie them around thy neck and have them right there in front of you. And of course the Pharisees, they would have these scriptures that they would have written down, and they would put it on their clothes, they would attach it, or they'd have a necklace type of thing where they're always carrying around God's word. So they keep it close to them. So we bind them continually upon thine heart, tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want the word being every part of our being. From the point that we walk out, it leads us. When we fall asleep at night, and when we awake the next day, let that word of God talk to us. So, so important. And then, in light of this guarding our heart, I think another scripture I want to share with you to close my part of it is in Matthew 6. Matthew 6. So if you go there, in Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Why wouldn't we want to lay up treasures on earth? Well, it says, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You know, if we have valuable commodities, we have gold, let's say, or some treasure, we might want to try to hide it. But you got to be careful, because if it's a treasure on earth, it can be corrupted and it could be stolen by the thieves, right? But, verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, I don't know about you. I've put, you know, treasures in certain places where I've hid it in the house. I've gone to the bank. They have, what do they have in the bank? They have those safety deposit boxes. I've done that. How do you put treasure in heaven? That's a good question, huh?
obedient.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And of course, I think we can understand that is doing the will of God and knowing that God will bless us. He will reward us for our faithfulness, our service. And so as we are faithful, as we do His will, God is going to reward us. We will save up wonderful treasure in heaven. And how long will that treasure last in heaven?
Forever.
Long time. Yes. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what is important to us?
Our thoughts are,
but God's word, the will of God, through a knowledge of His word is what's most important. That should be our treasure. You just can't beat the value of God's word in your life. And we want to put that in our heart, right? And we guard our heart with the treasures of God's word, not allowing anything to come in to steal it, to corrupt it. And if anything gets in there, we just boot it out. And we maintain our wonderful fellowship, continuing to build treasures in heaven as we faithfully serve our Heavenly Father. Sound like a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good, good. Well, that's a little bit of guarding your heart in light of what we learned this weekend. Jeannie learned something totally different, though. No, I was just kidding. We all learned a lot. But Jeannie wants to share with us another aspect.
A big part of the weekend was the faithful believers. That most of the believers there have been believers longer than they've been unbelievers. That means decades of knowing God's word and being faithful. And the real emphasis was how to finish strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think of our life as, you know, life is kind of, it's a long journey, and there isn't that period of time as a believer that the journey retires. You know, we are Christians to the very end.
Yep.
We are believers, sons of God. We have Christ in us to the very end. We can't retire from that. We can't retire from our relationship with the Father. So what do we do but stay faithful and continue on the path that God has given us? Jesus Christ is probably our best example. And if you look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we'll look at that. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those were those faithful in the Old Testament, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, we run with endurance, that we are just steady, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, we also are seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's given us that as the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ, to do the works that Jesus Christ did. But he endured for the joy that was set before him. And joy is a big part of continuing. It's not like believers need to be happy. Well, that word's not being used here. Mm-hmm. Happy is something that's temporary. But joy is through the Spirit. It mm-hmm. is who we are as sons of God. That joy shows us there's a patience in joy. There's a longevity in joy. just like Jesus. For the joy that set before him, he endured the cross. You think he had a joy for enduring the cross? But you know, he saw further.
Yeah.
He saw us becoming sons and part of the family. He was going to be a big brother.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at joy as part of our endurance as well. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Find joy in every situation. Because we know that the Father fights our battles. And any challenge, tribulation, any health issues, anything we have, he's prepared us to go through these things so that we can be victorious and have that crown of righteousness. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So we lean on this joy for resilience. Psalm 16:11 says, "In his presence is fullness of joy." That we continue to seek the presence of the Father, that we have, he's given us a perfect prayer language, speaking in tongues, that we can have access to him, that we can magnify him. I love Monday night where our prayer was praise. It wasn't just, here's my list of things that need to be done. He already knows.
Yeah.
But if we're looking to him and seeing and appreciating all that he's given us and all the authority we have, you know, we don't need to be lazy. We need to be strong. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice evermore, pray continually without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances." But they quite a lot of activity there. That fellowship with the Father, we just can't, our day's not complete unless we have that time with him and really talk to him and allow him to talk back to us, because he's always going to have that encouragement for us. And part of what helps me too is journaling, because I can go back and look at the things that happened a month ago, what happened yesterday, you know, what encouragement he's given. Let's close with Philippians 1, verse 6. We know that he has a plan for each one of us, and that he designed the plans for us before the foundation of the world. So that plan's been in existence for a long time, and he's had patience waiting for us, and he's got patience waiting for his son, for the time when his son can come back. Can you imagine that? I know we are probably not so patient of people, but we can learn patience. So Philippians 1, and we're going to look at verse 6. Starting in verse 3. I'll read quickly. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." And this is important too. You know, as a being on a prayer on the prayer team, which we all are, sometimes we don't have updates on prayers, but all of us can pray. And the Father gives us that perfect prayer. So we just always want to thank God for each one of our lives. "Thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." And then let's look at verse 9. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ."
Cool.
And verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Amen. Amen.
Plenty of things to do until the Lord returns.
Yes. Yes. Well, Father, thank you that we can guard our hearts, just maintain the Word of God in the depth of our being. And thank you that as we live life and move through the years ahead, that we stay faithful. We have that patience. We have that endurance. And we do so with great joy, knowing what's ahead. So we sure appreciate the knowledge of your word that makes this known. And we're grateful that we can live it and be it and fellowship with you along the way. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.